Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Friday, March 4th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. This is going to be a freaky Friday, frisky Friday, a fuck you Friday. And we're coming for it. We're here for it. The NFL Combine is in full effect, full on. We are cooking in Indy.
As Underground some, Warriors.
I mean, there are some times posted yesterday that were just fast.
Yeah.
And you see right here, some receivers, as we'll show on the screen here. If you aren't watching on YouTube, go over to YouTube, go to Menace to Sports page, hit subscribe, hit the bell. And if you could, if you're watching this video, hit like and drop a comment. Mm-hmm. Who were you most surprised about in the 40-yard dashes from the receiver group? David Bell running a 4.65 obviously wasn't ideal for his draft.
I was shocked when I saw that.
There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. But big news. Chris Olave runs a 4.26 that is then amended to a 4.39, which I don't know how you're 0.13 off, but we will talk about that in a minute. Before we get started, our Brenda Tracy GoFundMe page is up. It is the pinned tweet on Menace to Sports. If you need the link, go click it. I'm not asking you to donate a shitload of money. Go donate $5. If everybody listens to this show, we average like 15,000 to 20,000 downloads every single day. So if 20,000 people all go donate $5, we'll have $100,000 to donate to domestic violence survivors, a charity of Brenda Tracy's choice. When she doesn't come on the show, we will donate it to one that we choose for domestic violence, advocating for domestic violence, not for it, against it.
Mm-hmm. But well there.
Whoa. But anyways, NFL Combine talk, Chris. First of all, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, both go sub 4.4.
Mm-hmm.
Only the second time that a receiver tandem has done that since 2006. The other time was Paris Campbell and Terry McLaurin. So, four guys I recruited, no big deal.
Insane.
But they actually absolutely killed it. Mm-hmm. Killed the drills. We'll just get this out of the way now. I'm not a fan of the drills at the Combine. I mean, I understand the drills. I mean, really, they don't do drills, right? They do one drill. They do that stupid turn around and catch the ball and then run down the yard line and catch balls alternating sides, which I like the running part of it, but the first part's just stupid, right? Yeah. It's not quick trigger. It's not like they have to react fast. They catch a ball, turn around, then they can see the quarterback throw it and catch that ball. It's like if you drop either of those balls, you should just get undrafted right away. Move them off the board. Like,
harsh.
It's just stupid. Now, the running part of the drill I do like, because you can see if a guy is going to stay at full speed, and you can see how natural he catches the ball. Like
fluid with hips, Wilson, I think, too. You have to turn.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you can do that. Mm-hmm. But it's about maintaining speed, staying on that line, and then how natural you catch the ball. Garrett Wilson looked ridiculous. He's a natural. He has natural ball skills.
He's a freak.
We see my video isn't working. Can everyone else see the video on YouTube, I hope? It seems fine to us, but I do want to talk about kind of why the issue, right? Why do I have unofficial and official times? And it's really simple, right? It's a really simple concept. They want really fast times because it's sexy and people watch, right? Mm-hmm. When that kid ran, I don't even know who it was. I don't have his name, ran 4.21. It was all over social media and everyone's tuning into the draft.
Tyquan Thornton. Yep. Ran the 4.21.
4.21, which we all knew he didn't run 4.21.
Right.
And they amended it, I think, again, like 0.11314. Yeah,
4.28 is what his official time was.
Right, which is still flying. Still but 4.21, he didn't break the record. But the reason, they have a hand timer, a guy that's a starter that watches your hand, and when it moves, he pushes a button to start it. And I even Eric Lichter was from Plus2 University was put on his story. It's not like they don't have the technology. They have what's called FAT, right? And I forget what it stands for. Something about automated timing. But there's a laser that goes right along the grass, and your hand breaks the laser. And the minute that hand is out of the way of the laser, the clock starts. Right? They have the technology. They've had it forever. They could be using it right now. But you got to understand what we're doing. This is not about evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is about marketing. This is about selling people to go to the combine or watch the combine on TV. It's not about what's best for the league, best to evaluate. It's not about that. The combine is not, I mean, it is to an extent, but it is not 100% just let's, you know, really evaluate these kids. Mm-hmm. It is about, we need some fast times this year. Like, let's make
sure.
And
it's not best for the kid because Olave saw that 4.26 and said, I'm not running again.
Yeah, stupid.
I'm just going to hold that time.
Yeah, he went from the second fastest receiver to the ninth. He would have ran the second time if they would have properly timed it.
Right.
It really does fuck the athletes. It really does. It screws the athletes, and there's no reason that they don't switch to the automated timing with lasers. There's no reason other than they want fast times to pop up on that screen for and look at it. Just look at Buckeye Nation. Twitter went crazy.
LeBron was all over it, calling him little brother.
He ran 4.26 and Twitter exploded. Right. Buckeye Twitter exploded. That's why they do it. So don't have horse blinders on. Let's understand what's going on. They're trying to sell TV ratings for the combine.
No, it worked. No, it worked. I mean, it's the underwear Olympics. It's like the football players in underwear. I mean, but he looked fast as shit, Zach.
Oh, he's fine. Like, they both were fine.
Yeah. And it almost looked effortless when he was moving. How surprised were you that Garrett Wilson actually timed out faster than Chris Olave?
I always thought Garrett was a 4.4. I mean, if you put my gun to my head, I would have told you he was going to run 4.43, 4.44.
Gotcha.
That would have been my prediction.
4.38 faster than Olave. So
yeah, faster than Chris. So, I think obviously he solidified himself as a top 10 pick. I don't think he makes it outside the top 10.
He shouldn't.
And I think Chris, I mean, he'll run again probably at Pro Day because he doesn't want to be the ninth fastest receiver, especially, you know, he didn't weigh in well. And he looked.
I thought he weighed in well. 187.
Nah, I guess it's not bad.
Yeah, that's right? Not because Garrett weighed in at 182.
Yeah, I know, which I was kind of surprised about that. I thought Garrett weighed more than Chris.
Yeah, he looks heavier, like on film, on tape.
Yeah, 182 is way too small. Way too small. They both need to gain weight.
Devontae Smith weighed in at like what, like 160, and he was first round.
Okay, I mean he's an anomaly now. He won the fucking Heisman.
You better address me the right way. It's Big Chris Drew in this bitch. You don't get to.
It ain't no Big Chris Drew up in here. It's not
Big Chris Drew in here, man. Anyway, I digress. Me and you had a discussion a little bit about vertical versus broad jump.
Yeah.
Everyone felt like Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson were a little bit low on the vertical, which I believe 36 inches was Garrett's, and then 32 was Chris's. But you told me the broad jump was more important anyway.
Yeah, horizontal explosion is more important for football. I mean, the vertical is important. I mean, you got to be able to high point a football, but horizontal explosion translates more to how explosive an athlete is. Vertical kind of. I mean, it although it still correlates, it more so tells you like how high can a guy get to high point a ball, right? That horizontal explosion can kind of identifies the kids that have those explosive fibers, and they're more explosive.
Right.
Broad jump's a better indicator of that. I always when we did camps and brought kids in to work them out, always I wanted to know what their broad jump was, and if it's 10 foot or over for a receiver, sign me up. That kid is explosive. I don't care what his 40 is. I don't care what his vertical is. That kid is explosive. And that's acceleration, right? That is how you create separation. So both those kids go over 10 foot. They made a lot of money, Chris.
10-4. A lot of money, man. And I knew this was going to happen. And also, something on Garrett Wilson. I know he weighed in a little bit light, but his wingspan was freaky. Like, his wingspan lines up with someone that's about 6'3", 6'4", in terms of what it should be. Like, he's got some freaky long arms, which makes sense why he's able to high point so many balls. I mean, Garrett Wilson's a freak. I mean, that's a top 10 pick, maybe even top 5.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And he's explosive. I mean, you saw his broad. His vertical was good. 36 is good. And then with a wingspan and his ball skills, I mean, he's running sub 4.4, he's a no-brainer. He's a no-brainer.
I thought he was going to be in the 4.5s. So I slept on him a little bit speed-wise. I thought I just didn't think he would run as well as he did. And so I think he made himself a ton of money, solidified himself to me at least as wide receiver number one, no questions.
Like, you know who else thought he was going to run slow, Chris? And 4.5, not the 4.5 is slow, but the college football dweebs.
Yeah, they were. Oh,
go ahead.
They were talking shit, bro. It's Big Chris Drew. Here's the thing. So after Ohio State lost to Clemson in 2019, they went on this big thing about how the Ohio State receivers are slow. And as someone who's tuned in, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. cut that out right now. And they referenced the fact that guys like Paris Campbell and Terry McLaurin were gone. And obviously the room got a lot slower. And I said, wait a second. What about Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Jameson Williams? Those are the guys, sub four
receivers, by the way.
All of them. And they came back to me talking about, no, not even close. Da, 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 da. It's funny that you would reference Chris Olave. They were laughing at me a little bit, trying to dunk on me. And they said he ran a 4.7 whatever at the Nike Combine, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, I saw that kid block a punt at Michigan. And they're talking about he was one of the fastest on the team. That kid is a burner. And I tried to explain with them. They tried to dunk on me. And so then I went back and did research. Justin Jefferson ran a 4.88. In high school, it's like guys get faster. I was like,
well, and not only that, you don't know what happened at those camps. You don't. Right? We watched it with the combine, right? You don't know who timed them. You don't know how it was timed. You don't know what it was at all. You have no idea what that number means. I mean, I paid attention to what went on in combines and stuff like that, but it was never.
we weren't going to use that over tape. Yeah, we weren't going to use that over. Like we see him running on the field. He is fast, and they tried to dunk on and they. They're going to know me, man. They try to dunk on me time and time again. And I've been right, Zach. But
here's the problem. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about, Chris. Straight they up. Have no idea. None. They're data guys. They're analytic pushers. Mm-hmm. They're dweebs. They're not football guys. That's just what it is. And I don't want to spend too much time.
They're not consistent. They're not consistent, though. How are you going to prop up Justin Jefferson as a burner and then say, but he had a slower 40 time than Chris Olave did in high school, and then just ignore me when I bring up that point?
Well, it of course they are, because it doesn't fit their narrative, right?
It's big Chris Drew in here, man. They're gonna know my name. I swear it. I swear it.
They know my name, but they don't want to address me.
They don't.
You know, and I give them credit. I think their show's a good show. They do a good job of manipulating and analyzing and presenting data. But that's where it ends. Yeah. When they start getting into hot takes or opinion takes, just throw them out the fucking window. I mean, they set a receiver group with three receivers in this draft class that are all sub 4.4 and not even close. Jameson Williams is the fastest of the three.
Yeah, you texted me that Jameson would have ran a 4.19 on this track.
Oh, hey, with that starter, that old ass guy that was starting everything 0.15 late, he would have broke 4.2. He would have. Now his official time wouldn't have, but his unofficial time it would have been 4.19, and people would have lost their fucking mind. Mm-hmm. They would have
broke the internet.
And I don't know if you saw him doing the gritty, man, but that ACL looks good.
I saw him catching balls, man. I'm like,
he's gonna come back. You watch. He's gonna come back.
6 weeks ahead of schedule is what is being kind of rumored. So yeah,
a lot of that is fed from agents. Now the draft is coming up. Of course, he's ahead of schedule, but he's out there. He's out there moving around, dancing, catching balls. I mean, he looks like he is, you know, he's on a great path to being healthy for the season. But like I mentioned, man, you tear that in whatever it was, January, right?
Yep. January.
You tear that in January. I mean, the likelihood that you're going to be back in 7 months. I mean, that's crazy. At that position, it's not quarterback. It's not D-line. It's not O-line. It is a position where you have to plant and drive off of knees.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to do, but it doesn't mean he's not valuable. It doesn't mean he shouldn't get drafted high.
Because he's going to end up in a good place, though, because a team that has a good quarterback is going to be able to pick him up and take a flyer on him, and that's going to be so good for him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he's going to be probably a second-round steal in 3 years.
Like him, him with the Chargers, Zach?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see. I'll tell you this much. I think this receiver class is a really good class. And I think some of those teams in the early second round are going to get absolute home run picks by drafting a receiver that falls out of the first round because it's a deep class, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the way some of those kids tested and then some of the names that they have on coming out, I think this is a solid receiver class.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think George Pickens is going to surprise a lot of people, too. I think he's going to be a good NFL receiver. Obviously, he didn't have production because he was injured. But, I mean, there's some freaks in this class. I've never seen this many guys under 4.4, Zach, in one receiver class.
Yeah, no, it was phenomenal. I think there was 8 receivers that went under 4.4. And I tweeted it out, Chris, but I don't know if you saw the top 10 40 times in combine history, there's not one SEC player.
Holy.
Not one.
SEC speed my ass.
And so I said SEC speed ? And of course, SEC fans came after me and they didn't realize the satire or the sarcasm in my tweet. First of all, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
No SEC fan can tell me about the SEC. I spent 5 years coaching in it. Right. I know what the SEC is. Right?
No, 100%.
I get it. 100%. It's the fact that the D tackles run the way they run. The linebackers run the way they want run, right? The offensive tackles are that more athletic. The guards are more athletic. I get it. But not one SEC player has run in the top 10 times. Like, that's insane to me. Absolutely insane.
That is insane. No, that is insane. That's kind of crazy. It's crazy to think about, I guess. SEC. Did Percy Harvin run the 40?
Yeah, but he had a broken foot.
Right.
Hairline fracture in his ankle and ran 4.4.
That's right. Holy, and that's doctor, still so fast.
People don't know that story. Percy Harvin went to the combine, and you know everyone gets evaluated by their medical staff to report to the teams. Like, do they have any issues? Are they healthy? Mm-hmm. And the medical staff told Percy not to run because he had this hairline fracture in his ankle or foot or whatever. And he was like, no, fuck, I'm running. Like, no. Knows the answer. Gangster. I'm running.
Yeah.
And they're like, and so he ran on it and ran. I think he went 4.41 or 4.44 or something, like, somewhere in that range. And people were like, wow, that's slow. It's like, not on a fractured foot or ankle. That's flying.
He probably would. He'd probably run on the 4.2s, right? Like, what, 4.28? Yeah,
he's the fastest player I've ever seen on a football field. And that's the other conversation here, right? Like, I saw
football speed.
Mm-hmm. I thought the Rod Farva put it up there. I don't care about these combine showcase numbers. Can the dude play football? There is definitely a point there, but at the same time, I care about him. I want to know what your measurables are.
Yeah.
And then after I have that information, I can watch your film and see if that stuff translates and is applied on the field.
Yeah.
Right. Further, like a kid that runs a high 4.5 that plays high 4.5, that kid can play. He plays fast, right? Because most 4.4s don't run 4.4 all the time, right? Maybe if they're in the open field with the ball in their hand, they can hit top gear, but they're not running routes at 4.4. They're not in traffic in 4.4. Some guys are, right? So it definitely matters how you apply it and what your film looks like, but those measurables are important, man.
Yeah,
they're really important.
It's something, not everything. I believe Cooper Kupp ran a 4.62 in the 40-yard dash.
But he plays 4.62 in all facets of his game, and that's where you apply those numbers to film, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I 100% agree. I do want to ask you, though, what, like, are there any of the measurements that you just kind of laugh at that people take too much of a big deal of? I know Kenny Pickett measured him with some all-time small hands, and I know people are concerned about that.
It looked like he belonged in a carny. Like, small hands smells like cabbage. Like, what is that?
Chill on my man, Kenny Pickett.
7.25? What was his hands? Five and a third?
5 1/3. It just keeps getting smaller every time you say it.
Chris.
He has the same hand size as Michael Vick and Drew Lock. So watch your mouth.
Okay. Is Drew Lock just destroying the NFL right now?
Man, I had high hope for Drew Lock. I took him in my fantasy.
Mike Vick is an anomaly. That's like that's like people that say, oh, he's the next, like he's Tom built Brady. Like Calvin Johnson. It's like, shut up.
Yeah. Drake London. Shut up. Did you see Brian Harline subtweeting him? I thought that was some comedy, man. It was Drake London, right? It was definitely about Drake London.
Had to be.
Because Drake London's been running his mouth. He's been a little rah-rah. Someone wanted to ask about quarterbacks who look good. Dude, the Malik Willis kid, I'm buying all the stock on him.
Let me tell you this. The quarterbacks look bad. All of them.
Yeah.
Every quarterback looked bad. Even your dream
role. I thought Malik looked good.
Yeah, he looked good at times. He had some throws where you're like, oh, God. Like there was nobody that just went out there and had some consistent kick-ass day. But I'm going to be honest. The combine is not for quarterbacks. I mean, you're throwing to random receivers that you've never thrown with on these route trees that they just kind of have run forever.
It's a go in a cross or something.
And they throw a corner route. They throw an outcut. They throw a couple other things. But the quarterbacks, that's where pro days are so important for quarterbacks. Because quarterbacks, they're going to make 60 throws all in a row with receivers they know and have worked with, and they train, you know, they work their routine with those receivers. So it's just like a game, right? They're prepared. They have some chemistry. They've worked the exact routes they're throwing with the exact people they're throwing them to. So pro day is everything for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, combine, I guess you could look awful, but if you're a little inconsistent like Malik was, no big deal. Let's see how he does it pro day, right? That's essentially the moral of the story. But I don't like any. He's my favorite quarterback in this draft class. But outside, I mean, I'm not really a fan of any of them.
I like him and Matt Corral. My thoughts with Malik Willis is I think I trust Quincy Avery is what that is. I think Quincy Avery is going to do a good job. And I've listened to what Quincy Avery has had to say about Malik Willis. And because of that, I think he's my QB1. But again, this will probably be the weakest QB1 in the last 6 years.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, you can, like, I respect the shit out of Quincy. I watch what he does, and, you know, I'm very critical. Like, I'll be the first to say someone's a fucking idiot or doesn't know anything.
Guru, right.
I don't know. We call him extremely sharp and extremely good at it and understands the quarterback position as well as anybody I've been around. But the problem is he's getting paid by Malik to train him and also pump him up.
Even before, I feel like I'm going to be one of those scouts. I'm like, I like the tools. He's 6'1". He moves well. He's got, I mean, usually for a guy to be, it's interesting. Usually when you look at guys with the biggest arms in the draft class, usually they're like the 6'5", 6'6", guys that are just like big, strong dudes that just have cannons, like Josh Allen. Yep. He's 6'1", moves really well, good agility, but he also has the biggest arm in the class, and I'm not sure I've seen someone that size have the biggest arm in the class. But again, it's a terrible QB class, and if I'm a team looking for a QB, I just don't take one this year. I just don't take one. I'll let everybody else take one.
Maybe a second-round, third-round quarterback provides some value, but a first-round quarterback, I don't see it. I don't see a first-round quarterback in this draft class. I mean, we'll wait for pro days, right? Mm-hmm. I agree. I like Matt Corral.
Sam Howell, Matt Corral.
No, come on now. Sam Howell is not an NFL franchise quarterback. Like, this is what I mean. We get stuck on, like, oh, this guy was pretty good at North Carolina. It's like, what are we talking about? We're talking about a franchise quarterback. Your first round pick better be a franchise quarterback. It better be Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, Joe Burrow. Trubisky went round one. North Carolina is the new QBU.
That's because NFL teams are stupid, right? Jamarcus Russell went number one overall. What are we talking about? Sam Howell's not a franchise quarterback, so let's just put that one to bed. He should get drafted in the third round. You know, give him a shot. Maybe he, you know, develops. Maybe he's a good backup. But, you know, who is a franchise quarterback in this draft class? I think really Matt Corral and Malik have the best shot with some development and maybe with some growth. But I don't see one. I really don't see a franchise quarterback in this draft class.
Yeah,
and here's the problem with that, right? One of these quarterbacks will go somewhere and have a little bit of success, and people will be like, people will be like, oh, so everyone was wrong. It's like, let me see year five. I want to see him in year five. Anybody can have a good year. Look at Baker Mayfield right now, right? Mm-hmm. He had a great year, his sophomore year in the NFL. And people were like, Baker, you know, phenomenal pick. And now in year five, you're like, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. So we'll see. I don't see one in this class.
Yeah, I mean, people are floating around Desmond Ridder in the chat right now, and it's like, I don't think Desmond Ritter's an NFL quarterback. We'll see.
I mean, I think Desmond Ridder has a lot of upside. You don't really know what he's capable of yet. Playing the schedule he played, I know he played Notre Dame, I know he played Indiana, and then I know, obviously, they played in the playoffs, but he tested extremely well. I mean, he ran well.
He's a good athlete.
And the other part of it you don't know is how can he do against high-level competition with a competent offensive line? Because he never had that.
You're right.
When he played high-level competition, his offensive line was not good enough to be in the playoffs, right? And so when he goes against, you know, Notre Dame or any team in that upper echelon, like a very talented defense, he didn't have, you know, a full toolbox because of the offensive line play. So Desmond Ritter's one that I might take a flyer on in the second round and say, you know what? You know, and that's where
I wouldn't take
kids,
him round two. I would wait round three, four. You got to hit on those first. You have to go
you
two
do,
for your
but,
first three picks.
You do, you but you also you need a quarterback.
That doesn't
But it all comes down to pro day. It all comes down to how does he throw? How does he look in private workouts? That's where it's going to count. And obviously, you know, I won't have that knowledge. But if you sit there and evaluate his pro day and he shows you a bunch of stuff, you got to go get him because he might be the diamond in the rough in this class.
Yeah.
If you need a quarterback that bad.
We'll see. I mean, I think that I honestly, my belief is that every 2 to 3 years, a team should take a flyer on a kid in the fourth or fifth round at a quarterback. That way you keep that backup quarterback position with a young cat that's similar to your starting quarterback. Yeah. I think it gives you options for upside in terms of trading if they do flash, if someone gets hurt. And then also I think it's good to always have someone hungry learning behind your quarterback.
There's no doubt. Here's a great question for you, and the answer is yes.
Emphatically yes.
If Justin Fields came back for one more year and came out in this draft class, it would not even be a question. Mm-hmm. He would be the number one overall pick, hands down. No one would go ahead of him. No one. So yes, is it a great question, Colorado Buckeye? Justin Fields would be the number one overall pick in this draft class.
That's my guy, man.
If he had come back for another year. Not only Absolutely. Is his quarterback class down, but you can imagine the improvement he would have made with an extra year. I mean, it would have been a no-brainer. Barring injury, he would have been the number one overall pick for sure.
Heisman, national champion, first overall pick.
No, he wouldn't have won a national championship. CJ Stroud didn't lose the national championship. They wouldn't have won a national championship with Justin Fields because of their defense.
Zach, I don't care.
I know you don't care, but you also don't know what you're talking about. Nick,
cut it out. It's Big Chris Drew on a Friday.
Damn, Chris, I got to tell you. I've been working out. If you haven't followed my Instagram,
I've been working out too. Hold up. They call me.
Hey man,
skinny.
relax your sensitive ass, boy.
They called me skinny Artie Westerman in the chat yesterday. I was sick.
So I've been working out and I did this before when I lost a bunch of weight and I got about 10 more to lose. But, you know, Justine and I, we get it in. Like, it's not like jogging on the treadmill and doing some machines. Like I'm talking legit training, like deadlifts and leg press and legit. But I did something to my rib cage. I don't know if it's a pulled muscle or a cracked rib or what it is, but I'm telling you, if I move wrong, you might see it on the show. It's already happened twice. I'm like someone's stabbing me in my back. Oh, it's dying right now.
Oh,
almost 10-year-old daughter. She's so rude. Well, every time it happens, she just cracks up laughing. I'm like, Quinn, this really hurts. And she's like, I'm sorry. It's so funny.
Like, getting old is funny. Let's go. Let's go.
Anyways, it just hit me. So I had to mention it.
No, I mean, that's fine. This is probably the one time a year where if we got in a boxing match, you couldn't hang with me. I would move around as much as possible. Just tag
you're crazy. You're crazy. I'm still tough now. Ain't nobody going to beat my ass just because my back hurts or my ribs hurt.
At Planet Fitness, they know my name.
No, they don't. We already established that. What, so did you see, I don't know. I sent it to you, Chris, and I see it in the notes. Did you know that over this is some corruption shit right mm-hmm. here. I saw Sports Law Lust, our guy Daniel Lust, who comes on the show. He's kind of our sports law liaison. He tweeted out that it over a 2-year span.
Yeah.
Whoever Nebraska was playing in that 2-year span, zero holding penalties. Zero over 2 years. They never held once. And I don't know the facts or that this is true, but Daniel tweeted out that there was a mandate sent out by the Big Ten to get that done, to make that happen. And there had to be, right? It's physically impossible in the game of football over 2 years, whatever that is, 24 games. Mm-hmm. No one held Nebraska, right?
21 whether it was in straight conference games.
Or not, I don't know, but
yeah, huh? 21 straight games. 21 straight games.
21 straight games. Zero holding calls against the opponent when Nebraska was playing. That's just nuts. That's nuts. And you wonder, like, Nebraska's kind of the redheaded stepchild of the Big Ten. Like the Big Ten brought them in, but I don't know that they're fully sold on them. They almost treat Maryland and Rutgers with more respect than Nebraska. Absolutely. And it's bizarre. They're like the redheaded stepchild. They're mm-hmm. the odd team out, it seems. And I don't know if Kevin Warren has a problem with Nebraska. I don't know what it is.
But it was definitely the fight to get football back is what it is.
Well, yeah, it may be. It might be.
That's what this timeline lines up. Since the fight to get football, it was before that.
That's what I'm saying. I thought it was before the fight for football.
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy.
Biggest
wild.
Sports conspiracy that swears 100% true. That's absolutely it. That's insane. Someone asked who wins in a 40-yard dash, me or you. I got Zach. I'm younger.
There's no chance, but okay. It's all good.
It's Big Chris Drew here, man. Cut it out. I do want to ask you, though, floors and ceilings for the two guys we've been talking about all day, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. Who has the higher floor and who has the higher ceiling?
I think that you always want to go with ball skills, right?
Okay.
When you come to ceiling or floor, I don't really know the difference. Just how good are they going to be is all I really...
Yeah,
I mean, I get it, but we're talking about the NFL. They don't really have a floor. They don't develop guys. They really don't. They don't really coach guys. I mean, that's why guys go out and get private coaches and Quincy Avery's. Like, if it was college, you don't need Quincy Avery. You have Ryan Day or Corey Dennis, right? In the NFL, that quarterback coach is there to teach the quarterback protections, progressions, reads, you know, and the offense. He's not there to teach him arm angles and you know, body position. Mm-hmm. That's not what they're for. So, the NFL is all about how good are you going to be? Like, that's all it is. And so I'm taking Garrett over Chris Olave, which I've said all along before any of these draft projections or anyone got a hard on for either of them, just solely because of ball skills. And not that Chris has poor ball skills. I think Chris is going to be a phenomenal NFL player. But Garrett has kind of freakish ball skills, and you always err on the side of ball skills. Always. Yep. And now, especially seeing times, they're similar speeds. Oh, you got to go Garrett. That being said, Chris Olave is still a first rounder.
Still a first rounder.
I'm taking either one of them.
Solidified first rounder now at this point. Do you have a comparison NFL wise for either of those two? Or are you?
I don't really like that kind of thing. I don't do that.
But the people love it.
I don't care. They're different players.
Menace Army loves it.
I would say that Garrett Wilson it reminds me a lot of a C.D. Lamb. C.D. Lamb or Justin Jefferson are two that come in recent memory.
Yeah, like combat catches.
And just you know, big long arms. You know, good ball skills. I don't have a good one for Chris Olave. Maybe Calvin Ridley, but Calvin's a little bit
herky-jerky.
That's probably a good comparison. Calvin Ridley, I would give Calvin Ridley to Chris Olave.
It's interesting because I racked my brain for a comparison for Chris Olave. I think he plays the game in such a unique way, in such like almost effortless way. Like he's running on like just ballerina feet. Like
he has phenomenal feet. He really does. He has phenomenal feet, and he's obviously explosive. He obviously can run. He's got great hips. You know, just.
Like his ability to gear down and then gear back up without being herky jerky is something I've never seen before.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a reason why, right? I mean, I've got videos sent to me of him doing sand pit top end workouts with Keenan Bailey. Like that kid works his feet and his body position in top ends as much or more than anyone I've ever seen. I mean, in the off season in a sand pit, like just wild. I mean, just awesome work ethic and also extremely talented. So yeah, I think that's a good comparison. Calvin Ridley for Chris Olave and then I'd say Justin Jefferson or more C.D. Lamb for Garrett Wilson.
They kind of both have that same like dog always open. I mean, just kind of in after catch. Garrett Wilson has one of the meaner stiff arms I'm seeing. I mean, that kid from Akron is still feeling it. yeah. The kid that got thrown like 6 yards. I think it was a linebacker too. Look at that. Oh yeah. Someone wants to know order in terms of like Garrett Wilson, Olave, and Jameson Williams draft order. Me, it's easy. I think Williams goes first, Olave second, and then Jameson Williams third, just because of the injury. I think that if Jameson was healthy.
The only problem with that is Jameson Williams can't get drafted twice.
Oh, my bad. I'm tripping.
I mean, with Jameson getting hurt, this is an easy answer, right? It goes Garrett, Chris, J-Mo, because there's you know, concerns about that ACL. That's honestly, for this, I was ready for this conversation all year. I was like, man, people are really going to be like all over me when I give my order, and Jameson getting hurt made it so easy. I'm not here to project where he would have gone because it doesn't matter. But I think that's the draft order of the three for sure.
Drake London's going to get in there somewhere. People are going to fall in love with Drake London, especially we'll see how he does it. It's pro day. I'm not in love with the Burks kid the way that a lot of people are. I kind of worry about him. I just feel like we see that receiver mold come into the draft every single year, and we never know. I mean, to me, they don't pop very often.
Listen to me. Treylon Burks will 100% be a bust. 100%.
I'm of the same.
Write it down. Mark it down. Save this clip. Bookmark it. Like Chris does with College Football Nerds' tweets. Bookmark it. He will be a bust. 5 years from now, he will not be playing in the National Football League.
No, he just feels like we get that same receiver every year, and it's the same story with them. They can't get open. They struggle running routes, and then they just about like Jalen. Remember Jalen Strong? How people try to pump him up as like one of the top end guys, and it's like that he doesn't have top end speed. He doesn't have a top end vertical, and he's not getting open in college. So he's going to get open in the pros, and his ball skills are just okay.
No, I think his ball skills are pretty good, but I think he is, like you said, he's that guy that comes out every year, that player that comes out every year that you're like, man, this kid might be, you know, their draft stock rises. It happened to the one kid from, I can't remember his name now, the kid from Indiana, the big, tall receiver. He like, as we got closer to the draft, his name just skyrocketed up the board. And I'm
everything.
Like,
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember who, but yeah.
I want to say Freifogel, but that's not it. It's just something weird. It's a name like that. But anyways, his name shot up the board. And I'm like, I've watched this kid for 4 years live. Like, no, the answer is no.
And maybe we're wrong. I don't think we're wrong, but I mean, I trust you.
I think I was wrong once before. I can't remember it, but I think it did happen.
I think I was wrong once before. Get the fuck out of here.
I think I might have been wrong one time before.
I wanted to ask you about a sleeper kid on the Ohio State roster because
a sleepover with a kid? What are you, Jim Harbaugh? Kid.
No, I'm not Jim Harbaugh. Cut it out. It's Big Chris Drew. Sorry, Mom.
You got the LDE today.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that means. Oh, yes, chill out. Chill on me. Chill on
Go
me.
Ahead.
Chris Olave, they were asking him at the combine, part of his interview, about guys he's looking forward to seeing. And a guy that on the Ohio State roster that I think is forgotten about a lot is the Ballard kid from Maslin.
Yeah.
Now, this was before he ran. Chris Olave's face, I don't know if you saw the video, Zach, but Chris Olave's face lit up when he was talking about Ballard. He said he's 6'3", 200 pounds. Freaky fast, like way too fast for that. And that was before he ran his 40. So for someone that ran 4.26, 4.3, whatever, to call you freaky fast, like, and glow up, that's like
you gotta be flying.
That caught my attention, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, he's an exciting ball of clay, I will say. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people know, I offered him. Well, Urban and I offered him when he was like a freshman in high school, and I certainly didn't recruit him. I just remember vividly the kid from Maslin with the ponytail.
Mm-hmm. Hell of a ball player, basketball player too.
Yeah, he worked out at our camp, and we offered him as a freshman. And obviously, then Brian Hartline recruited him. So, but that's how good he was, right? As a freshman, you could see like, damn, he ran well as a freshman. He went through drills well. So it's a hell of a ball of clay. A kid can run. Kid's long, big. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a good looking body. Then it's going to be about route running, feet, ball skills. I mean, there's so much other, there's so much more that goes into playing receiver that he might or might not have that we don't know yet. But yeah, that's an awesome, awesome potential there. There's an awesome potential.
When someone who is freaky fast calls somebody else really, really fast and references the fact that they're 6'3 and 200 pounds like that, that really, really caught my attention. And I think it you're going to kill me. I thought he was talking about like, that's how I would that's how I would expect someone to describe Devin Smith. And, being from Maslin, that was just the easy comp for me to make. Just incredible deep speed and kind of that size.
It's a good comparison. Obviously, they're both from Maslin, both similar size.
Yeah,
that's why it was
easy for me to make, yeah.
Yeah, similar size. And, Devin had the ability to track a deep ball better than anyone I've ever seen. So until I see that out of anyone, we're not going to make that comparison. But similar story, similar ball of clay. We'll see how he develops.
Yeah, definitely excites me. People are talking about Jeremy Ruckert. I did want to ask you about the bench press. Does the bench press really matter too much for skill guys?
Sure. It shows you how, not only does it show you, how strong you are, which can matter. But it kind of shows you your work ethic over the last three or 4 years is what it is. Because anyone in the world that shows up in college, even if you only bench press like 135 or 155 coming in, like if you can't do 225 for eight, 225 for 6 to 8 as a skill player, like you really don't work hard. You didn't work hard in the weight room because anybody can get up to that, right? If you
I can bench press 225, Zach.
Right. I'm talking about 8 times though. It's very different from 1 to 8.
I can do it. No, I can do it for sure 5 times.
For sure, 5.
For sure, 5.
Well, there you go. But that's my point, right? And you're not going through an athletic program, right? You're just working out on your own.
Fitness workout,
right. So for a kid not to do it 8 times, let's say, unless he's like a small, like Devontae Smith, you wouldn't expect him to do it 8 times. And I don't even know how many times he did it, but
I don't think he even did it. I don't think he
probably not. Either. But and that's the moral story, right? It shows you work ethic. For the linemen, like D tackles and guards and shit like that, it really matters because it could show you how cock strong a motherfucker is. Like how strong is he really? Like a guy goes and rips off 35 reps at 225 and you're like, whoa. Like that dude is strong.
I saw Jeremy Ruckert ripped off 19 at 6'5", 250. I'm excited for him. I think he's going to be a better pro than he was a college player.
Well, without a doubt he will. And he was a great college player. Ohio State just didn't really feature him at all. Right. And so you've seen it a lot, right? Nick Vanette was just a decent player at Ohio State, still playing in the NFL, right? So I think I agree. And I've said it for 2 years. Jeremy Ruckert was a Mackey Award level player. He just didn't get that kind of love. That's what it was. I mean, he ran good routes, had good ball skills. He could block well. I mean, he was a true, complete tight end. And I agree 100%. He will absolutely have a better pro career than he did a college career.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited for Jeremy Ruckert. The more I kind of watch him, I mean, I thought he ripped off 20, but they took one of them away. They said he didn't get his arms all the way up. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see on that. But, Zach, we do have Spaces coming up today, right? Are you?
Yeah, Spaces coming up 2 o'clock today. We will be on Twitter and live everywhere. And if those of you that didn't hear, I got a new computer coming in, building out. Yeah. It'll come in this weekend. Should be up and ready to roll by Wednesday. So if we have any, we didn't have any freeze issues so far today, but that will go away forever on Wednesday. And this computer is going to be cooking.
Look, we're just upgrading. I got a new mic.
And shout out to our guy, Jeff, who helped me build it. One of our subscribers, who is also his birthday. Happy birthday, my man. He said yesterday, because I started the show giving a happy birthday to Devin Smith and Michael Thomas and amongst other people. And he was like, well, since we're shouting it out, like it's my birthday tomorrow or it's my birthday on this day. So shout out, happy birthday. Appreciate your help with the computer. But that's all I got, Chris. We'll see you guys at 2 o'clock on the Twitter Spaces. Menace out.